A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning, everybody. Another weekend is underway.
Yes, it is.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, there's a project out there that a lot of people really dislike doing a lot, and that's painting ceilings. You know, they're fine with painting walls or furniture or, you know, any number of things. But when it comes to ceilings, people get intimidated by the project. You know, it's... maybe they've had a bad experience doing it, or it hasn't turned out quite right because they weren't aware of some factors that might play into that. Well, we are going to help everyone out there with that particular project today. We're going to tell you everything that you need to know to paint your ceiling with confidence and have it looking like a pro did it.
Now, Betsy, I was playing Frisbee with the kids the other night, and the Frisbee ended up on the roof.
And no surprise.
I was looking at it, trying to figure out how to get it down, I noticed moss on my roof in the backyard.
Yeah,
I wasn't terribly thrilled with that. Moss on a roof is a common problem in West Michigan. The downside is that it's not just ugly. It's actually attacking your shingles on the roof.
Right.
You got to get it down. The good news is there's a solution. We've got all the info, and we'll get to that later today.
Also, when it comes time to sell a house, everyone goes through this long internal debate. You know, what should I fix? What should I really just leave alone and, you know, let the buyer deal with? We're in the studio with Roger the Realtor, who's going to give us the scoop on what your best return on investment is going to be that won't break your bank account.
Roger's a lot of fun to interview because he spent the greater part of his career in radio.
Yes.
So he definitely makes us sound like newbies.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. So buckle up for that. But before we get to all that, I want to do a little myth busting, because who doesn't love the Mythbusters?
I do. I love the explosions. I love just the interaction between those two guys. I'm very sad when that show ended.
Well, you're going to be mighty disappointed because we have no explosions for this myth busting.
I know. This is a wallpaper myth busting episode. So everybody can just check their excitement at the door. This is all Betsy's idea. Unless it turns out well. Then I'm going to take partial credit.
Of course you are. It is exciting because wallpaper is coming back, but people shy away from it because of these myths that are out there.
There are a lot of wallpaper myths out there. Or perceptions.
Right.
We're challenging them and saying they're actually myths.
Right. People think that it's intimidating to do these things, and it's really not. So let's start with hanging wallpaper, because that's the first thing that's going
to
happen.
Wallpaper is too complicated to install or to hang.
Right.
I don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
But that's the idea.
Yes. But with a few simple tips, you can install it with no problems whatsoever. The first thing you need to know is read the directions. Wallpaper comes with directions for a reason. Read them.
Right. And different papers have different directions. So
right.
Even if you've read the directions from one particular paper, or you're very comfortable with something you installed a while ago, that doesn't mean that the new paper installs the same way. So take the time to read those. Different pastes require different procedures to hang. So just read those directions and then ask questions if you're confused on any of it.
Yes, that's what we're here for, is to answer your questions. You can call us. You can come into the store. Even if you're just about to start and you realize you have a question, call. We'd rather help you through it than have you get frustrated.
Yeah, any Repco Light or Port City Paint store, we're more than happy to help you through the process. The second thing is very simple. Get a Robin for your Batman.
Yes.
Get a helper.
Exactly.
Now, normally, and when it comes to wallpaper, I'm the Robin.
Yes.
I always want to be the Batman, but I never get to be the Batman.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but when you're hanging paper with me, you got to play Robin to my Batman.
But the point is, get a helper. Get somebody that can work with you, even if all that person does is what I did. They bring you water when you're thirsty.
Yep.
They give you tools when you say, give me that tool.
Yep.
Please.
Please.
And they just help with basic things like that.
Yes. It's very nice to have a helper. You're going to find that it comes in handy for some of these other things we're going to talk about. You also need to create a space to work in. Move the furniture away from the walls that you're going to be papering, because that's how paper gets torn. You need room to move your ladder around. And you need a place to actually roll out this paper and paste it. That's where a lot of people get frustrated, because they have this tiny little space and they can't fully roll out as much as they need to cover the wall. So make sure you have a space that you can actually work in. You also need to try things out ahead of time. Now, this is one that I think a lot of people don't do. You know, they hang their first strip, and then they go and they cut another strip and they paste it, and then they're trying to figure out how
to get it matched, to get it all lined up. But now you've got the mess of the paste. It's all over the place. Yep. It's frustrating.
Yes. Again, this is where your helper is going to come in. Do a dry run with that paper. Take the roll, you know, figure out where it matches up. Have the person, your helper, your Robin, cut the paper at the bottom. Then you know it's exactly where it needs to be. You have exactly enough paper for that next strip. Paste it and you're ready to go.
So definitely give it a dry run ahead of time. And then the last thing we want to say that's going to make this so much simpler, and again, it's common sense, but have the right tools.
Right.
You know, any project that you jump into, when you don't have all the right tools on hand ready to go, means you're going to be, you know, trying to adapt, trying to make things work. And when you're trying to make things work, make tools that do something that they don't normally do, things always go badly.
Right.
And one of the biggest surprises when we did that wallpaper that that you suggested that I hadn't seen coming is that you had a razor with, you know, snappable blades.
Yep.
Very common.
Mm-hmm.
But you snap that blade after every single cut.
Absolutely.
Every single cut, you snap the blade.
That's the general rule of hanging wallpaper that most people don't know. When that wallpaper is wet with the paste or the water, depending on if you have the pre-pasted kind of paper, as it's wet, it tends to rip a lot easier. So if you have a fresh blade, you're not going to get that. That's what some of the frustration is for people. Well, my wallpaper ripped when I cut it. That's why. A fresh blade every time you make a cut.
They're so inexpensive.
Yep.
It's so simple to do.
Right.
And it made a tremendous difference because I always try to get as many cuts out of those as possible.
Most people do.
And I tear the paper all the time.
Yep.
Another tool that you'd want to make sure you have is a product, and it's called Shields Wallpaper Primer.
Yes, this is going to help when you want to take the paper down. It makes it so that it comes down more easily. That's very important because that's a lot of the frustration for people when they're hanging wallpaper and then when they go to strip it.
Right. So when we're talking about installing it, let's make sure we do it the right way. Use Shields. There are a ton of other tools that you'd want to have. A straight edge, a roller cover if you have to apply the paste, you know, to the back of the paper that way.
Ask us about it. We'll set you up with all of the tools that you need to accomplish this.
Right.
You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we are busting wallpaper myths. We've, you know, talked about how to hang the wallpaper, the things that you need to do. Now let's talk about stripping the wallpaper.
Because that's the next big issue. Okay, I can get my paper up, but we all know it's never going to come down unless we have some kind of nuclear holocaust that melts everything.
Yes. This is where people get stuck because a lot of people move into a house. You know, their preconceived notion is, I've dealt with this paper that I moved in this house and I tried to take it down and it was tiny little pieces. Wallpaper is not the same today. You know, a lot of people, when they hung the paper originally, didn't go through the appropriate steps. They didn't use that Shields before they put the paper up. The paste is very different today. Now it's strippable paste. So there are a lot of factors at play in this.
Right. We're not saying that the wallpaper that you've stripped before, it actually strips easier than you experienced.
Right.
Because of, like Betsy's saying, it could be old technology on the wallpaper. It wasn't as strippable. They didn't maybe do it the right way.
Right.
Maybe those were very complicated to strip. What we're saying is that it doesn't need to be. If you apply it and install it the right way, the paper should come off much easier. Plus, the papers have changed. They're made to be more strippable. We had a bathroom at my old house where we installed the strippable wallpaper, and literally the children had fights about who got to strip that paper down when we were pulling it down. There were arguments over who got to do too much and more. We had little piles that each one had. My pile is not as big as his pile. He got to strip more.
Right.
That is insane. But that's what it was. It was a very decent experience, except for the fighting.
It's a great stress reliever. You know, if it comes down easily in big sheets, that's what you want. That's what you can expect from papers today. So don't be deterred, you know, just because you had one bad experience or a couple bad experiences.
Right. We bring all this up just because wallpaper can really do a lot to make the space that you're working in the way you want it to be.
Yes.
Know, it can do more in certain regards than even paint will. Paint will do a huge amount. It can definitely change the way you feel about a room. But wallpaper, even on a single wall, can bring in a lot of different colors just in that one pattern. It can bring in patterns, you know, visual textures, literal tactile textures.
Yep.
All kinds of things can happen with wallpaper that will dramatically improve that particular space that you're working in. So don't shy away from it just because of some of these myths out there. Now, we've got wallpaper books at a lot of our stores, a lot of the Repcolites,
yes.
but not all of them, because it takes a fair amount of space to hold a good wallpaper library. So we've
right.
got them at our two Holland locations.
Correct.
And we also have them at our Plainfield location and in our new Kalamazoo store, which
yeah.
is going to be opening in a
couple
weeks.
In the next couple of weeks. Don't discount wallpaper. It's not as bad as you think.
Now, when we come back, putting our houses on the market leaves us with a number of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Which things need to be fixed right away? Which things can we let go? Well, we're in the studio with a real realtor, and he's going to give us all the info we need. Stay tuned. Repcolite and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Kurt Van Overloop from KVO Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint and Repcolite is my store.
The six West Michigan Repcolite stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore. It's good to hear Benjamin Moore in there.
Yes, it is.
I do wish we could get the announcer to change it to say sponsored by Benjamin Moore.
Yes.
Because we're actually Repcolite people.
Yes.
We're not Benjamin Moore people.
Right. We just sell Benjamin Moore.
We sell Benjamin Moore. We like Benjamin Moore a
yes.
ton. For
I
those of
it.
You Benjamin Moore people listening.
yeah.
But we are Repcolite folks.
Yes, we are.
So it's presented by Repcolite, sponsored by Benjamin Moore.
Right.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, people that are preparing to sell their home often make a list of things that they think that they should do or perhaps fix before they put it on the market. They think that by making these changes, they might get more money for their home or that it's going to
sell
more
quickly.
Right.
It's just going to fly off the shelf.
Right.
Right?
yes.
Many things that we think we need to do really, though, don't impact the selling of the home. And sometimes we miss the things that we should have concentrated on.
Right.
Well, we've got Roger Allen Nyheis of Keller Williams Lakeshore Realty, which is a great big long thing to say.
Yes.
He's in the studio with us, and he's going to help us decide what we should be focusing on. Roger, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Now, Roger, let's just jump right into this. When you're helping people sell a home, what do you recommend when it comes to the changes that they should make and the changes that they don't need to make?
Two words, or actually three words, health and safety.
Health and safety.
If it's a health problem, if mm-hmm. there's obvious mold, if there's obvious mildew. Safety is another thing. Loose handrails. Absence of handrails. Obvious places where somebody over 5 foot five is going to bump their head if they're not being careful.
Are you making a short joke, Roger?
You caught that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought I was going to sneak that one in.
I have never bumped my head on anything.
Imagine
I did once when I was standing on a chair, and I was so surprised. I was actually in a lot of pain, but I was really kind of happy. I bumped my head.
You finally bumped your head.
Yeah, I know what it feels like now.
Wow, crazy.
So those kinds of things.
Those kinds of things. The other things, Dan, Betsy, obviously there is no right answer.
Well, this is a short interview, then.
Yeah. No. We can.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
We can talk about this for a while.
Oh, okay.
But
Roger wants to
hang on. There is no specifically right answer.
Okay.
Here's what it depends on. How badly do you want to sell the house?
Okay.
How quickly do you have to sell the house? And how tied are you to your list price? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to sell this house, and you really want to sell it quickly, then upgrade the appliances, upgrade the floor covering, repaint everything in neutral colors, make sure all the windows are solid, and if haven't been replaced recently, replace them. I mean, spend the money, because that's what will sell the house quickly.
So what we're looking at, though, is I need to sell this house, so I'm going to put the money in.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying. It's not, because my price, I'm going to lose a lot.
It's not put the money in, get the money back out.
Gotcha. That's what I wanted to clarify.
You should pardon the expression, a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that may or may not happen. We've told people that paint and floor coverings, you can get your money out of because it's not that big of an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If you put all new appliances, including a washer and a dryer, in the house, that gets a little iffy.
Mm-hmm.
It still depends on What do we say about real estate? Location, location, location.
Okay.
So pick up your house and move it to a better location.
That's exactly right. I could have sold a house yesterday if I could have picked it up and moved it.
So if you're driven, absolutely, this house has to sell. Everything else is secondary. You know, I'll get enough for it. I just have to move it. Then we're talking appliances and all of these
floor
things.
Floor coverings. Again, depending on the roof. The roof is a major expenditure, but it's something a home buyer doesn't want to have to do 5 years after he buys the house.
You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking with Roger about some things that you can do as a seller of your home, you know, to kind of whittle down that list that you've probably made of things that you think you need to fix. So, Roger, what is it that people should start with? You know, is it the outside of the home and the curb appeal? Should they start with painting the walls? Where should they start this whole thing?
Where they should start is in the kitchen.
Okay.
A kitchen is what sells a house. It's the women that make the decisions. We all know that. We will accede to that, and, you know, we'll just leave that where it is. But it is the women who make the decisions. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if you're going to upgrade, update your house, you start in the kitchen. You make that kitchen look as nice as you can possibly make it look, whether it's new countertops, new backsplash, which is a fairly inexpensive way to go to do countertops and backsplash. And you don't have to do granite. Mm-hmm. You can do quartz. You can do corian. You can, I mean, there are a lot of things. You can even find some really nice linoleum to put on your countertops.
Linoleum?
Formica.
On the
Formica is the word I was looking for.
I was going to say, I don't know what kind of place you
just
live in.
Never mind. Just took a minute to come up with the right
word. You are older.
Yes, I. Oh, now he's making old jokes. So good.
Imagine that.
Let's see. What can we turn on Betsy here? No, never mind.
But even painting cabinets.
Painting cabinets
like that,
is.
It's a huge payoff because it will brighten a room.
As long as we're on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show,
exactly.
We might as well talk about painting cabinets.
I was just trying to sneak that in.
Yeah, well, nicely done. Yeah. So you don't get that stuff by me.
Right. So you start in the kitchen. That's a good place to start. I would also think, though, that like you mentioned earlier, a roof. If that's in need, to me, that's got to be one of those at least major considerations. Would you agree with that or not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because for me, that's almost a deal breaker, because even if it's not going to be as expensive as I think, when I look at it in my head, I see that as an enormous expense for me as a new buyer, and it's a huge turnoff.
Well, if it's covered in moss and algae, you don't know what's going on. You know, there's obviously an underlying problem
or
of
cup
moisture.
Shingles or all kinds of things going on up there.
Yeah, it's
so a new roof is potential. That's
a new roof is potentially, as you called it, a deal breaker. If that roof is going to need to be replaced within the next 5 years, I advise sellers it's worth fixing.
Okay.
And you can tell your buyers, hey, you got a brand new roof, and that, you know, that may not add the total cost of the roof replacement to the value of the house, but it will go a long way toward it. You can legitimately ask X number of dollars more for the house if you've just gone to the expense of putting a roof on it. The way I advise sellers is do the simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If your front door needs paint, for crying out loud, paint it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If your garage door is all bashed in, invest in a new garage door. Do the simple stuff. And if you do the simple stuff, both outside and inside, and here's one that people don't think about on the inside of the house, one of the easiest ways to brighten up a room is put new light fixtures in it.
Mm-hmm.
For a few $100, you can put new light fixtures throughout your house, and it'll make it look like a new house.
A lot of stuff to think about. Roger, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, maybe they're looking for a house, maybe they're looking for a realtor, how do they do that?
And call the office, Keller Williams Lakeshore in Holland, or email me, and I think that's about the simplest way to get a hold of me. It's Roger Ran, R-O-G-E-R-R-A-N, at KW.com. Roger Ran at KW.com.
Roger, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure.
Now, coming up, moss growing on your roof isn't just ugly. It's actually damaging your shingles. But you don't have to take that line down.
Nope.
Suit up. We've got the solution when we come back.
What if there was a paint so special that you had to seek it out? No, not like that. Not that far. Much closer. Like your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Yep, you got it. Because if finding that paint makes you and your walls beam with pride, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back for another round of the Repco Light Home Improvement Show.
Yes, we are.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, my house sits under two huge maple trees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're old maple trees.
That's
they're
nice.
Enormous maple trees. They're wonderful.
Yes.
In the summer, we get a ton of shade.
Mm-hmm.
The back living room is perpetually cool.
Right. You know,
we don't even have to have the air on back there. It's great.
Yeah.
But it does have a problem. And I do tend to notice moss growing on the roof underneath those that overhang in that shady area.
Right.
And the problem with moss is that it can actually shorten the lifespan of my roof. And that starts to get on my nerves because I don't like to spend money at all. And I certainly don't want to be redoing a roof before I need to.
Right. You know, it's a common problem here in West Michigan. But the good thing is, it's a relatively easy DIY fix. Let's start by identifying the two problems that often happen on roofs and their causes. Now, moss and algae are the two things that are going to happen on your roofs. And both are caused by humidity and moisture, you know, trees overhanging. The difference is algae is that black streaky stuff that kind of people always think it's mold and mildew.
Right.
And moss is that nice fuzzy stuff that actually damages your roof.
Right. Our algae is ugly.
Yes. It's
but it doesn't
just
necessarily, and there's no evidence that suggests that it damages your shingles.
Yes.
Just makes them look bad.
Yep.
So that's still not good.
No.
Moss, on the other hand, is a real pain in the neck.
Yes.
Because it's actually damaging your shingles. It can do any number of things. You know, as it grows, it can cause the leading edges of your shingles start to curl right up.
Yep,
you know,
I've seen that.
If you've seen bad roofs, that will start to do that. You get a strong wind, and now you're starting to look at shingles being blown right off. Another problem that can happen with heavy moss growth on a roof is it actually creates dams that push water, you know, when it rains, back up under your shingles.
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of like an ice dam.
Exactly. And that can damage the decking.
Yep.
Of your roof. And in a severe enough situation, it could actually even leak into the house.
And then people get to listen to us even more when they have to go and figure out how to fix
those leaks.
How to deal
with water stains and stuff like that. So moss is really causing a problem.
Right.
Algae just looks bad.
Right.
That's what's going on up there. Now let's talk about the fix, because that's really the important thing we want to get to here. And the fix for both is pretty much the same thing. You just hit them with a 50-50 mix of bleach and water.
Right. Now, if you're dealing with moss, you want to brush off the moss before you hit it with the bleach and water. And
if you've got a lot of heavy moss, get the bulk of it off.
Yep. Just a soft bristle brush, you know, perhaps on a broom pole or something like that, and scrub it off very gently. Go down the shingles. Don't go up because there's the risk of damaging the shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Just get off as much as you can. Then hit it with the 50-50 mix of bleach and water. Just in a pump-up garden sprayer, that's the easiest way to apply it.
Right. So if you've just got algae, you would go straight to this 50-50
Correct.
Mix.
Yep.
If you have heavy moss, scrub as much off as you can carefully without damaging the shingles, and then go to the 50-50 mix. You spray it on, let it sit for about 15, 20 minutes, rinse it off with a regular garden hose.
Yep.
We've seen plenty of websites, honestly, where it's a little strange that they're recommending, most of them will recommend a garden hose and will tell you do not use a power washer.
Right.
But we've run into a number of them where they've got videos of somebody using a pressure washer on a roof. Do not do that.
No, you run the risk of damaging the shingles that way. And that's the last thing you want to
do. A very high risk of damaging the shingles.
Yeah, you just need enough pressure to wash away the bleach. It's not that hard.
Right, you're not trying to spray the roof clean.
No.
The bleach is going to kill the mold or the moss that's growing there. The bleach is going to kill the algae that's growing there.
Right.
Eventually, the moss will come off.
Yep.
With time, the algae will wash away with rain.
Right.
You're not trying to blow it off with pressure. That's not what you're trying to do here. So stay away from a pressure washer. Don't do that. Always spray down the house.
Yes.
You know, down the roof.
Yep.
Don't spray up.
Nope. You don't want that water going back up under the shingles.
And it will. I've done that years back where I was trying to spray something off the roof. I was probably trying to get a Frisbee down.
Probably. That sounds about
like
right.
That. And yeah, I sprayed right up. I didn't really realize anything until I went into my closet later that day to get clothes
and
out.
And it was wet.
And I noticed there was a lot of water there.
Uh-huh.
And I had blown it under the shingles and it had leaked.
Right.
That's very stupid. Don't do that.
Yeah. Now, moss might take a couple applications of the bleach and water. That's fine. Just let it dry completely before you go for another application. And again, 15 to 20 minutes on that bleach, because otherwise you run the risk of actually bleaching out your shingles, which you don't want.
Right. And once that bleach has been on there and then rinsed off, it'll take a little while, but that moss will start to die. And you can get up there with a leaf blower, and you should be able to blow it right off. And again, blowing down the roof, not up.
Right.
Don't want to do that.
Now, just some things to remember. Do not, under any circumstances, use a power washer on your roof.
Right.
That is bad for your shingles.
Use the words power washer and you got really excited about this project, please understand that immediately preceding the words power washer were the words do not use a.
Right.
So that this not for this project.
Right.
Garden hose is more than adequate.
Yes. Now, make sure you wear the appropriate clothing, you know, goggles, some old clothes that you don't care if they get bleached. Cover any vegetation that might be on the ground. If you don't want to cover it, at least hose it off before you start.
Pre-rinse it, and then immediately afterwards, rinse it again. Husbands, do that.
Right.
Don't run the risk of killing plants and all of that landscaping.
Yep.
It will make for a horrible, horrible rest of the weekend.
Yes.
And we'll probably get emails about it. And I don't want those. So
Rinse
and pre-rinse or cover that landscaping.
Yes. Now, for some people, this is a project, you know, depending on your roof, you might not want to do. There are plenty of people out there that you can hire to do this for you. Make the call. You know, some roofs, the pitch is just too much. There are professionals who can take care of this.
Right. You're listening to the Repco White Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about how to deal with moss and algae on the roof. And before we wrap this segment up, we want to quick give you a few preventative measures to hopefully slow down any new growth.
Right.
Cut back your tree branches. Trim everything back.
Right.
You want to get sunlight on that roof and dry things out. Get debris that starts to land on your roof. Get that off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so regularly go around with a leaf blower and blow that off. Also, make sure that you keep your gutters clean to promote good water drainage off of the roof.
Right. You can also install zinc or copper strips. You just put them under that first row of shingles at the peak of your roof, usually about 6 inches. You leave about 2 inches hanging out. And what happens is when it rains, the metal molecules will actually wash down your roof, and it's poison to moss and algae. So that's going to help keep that roof clean.
Right. The whole thing is going to take regular maintenance. But if you keep your eye on it, you can make sure your roof looks as good as it can for as long as possible. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
When we come back, we're going to save your neck as you paint your ceiling the next time, and we're going to make you have confidence when you do it. That's right around the corner. Stay tuned.
Repco Light and Benjamin Moore present a shout out to painting contractors.
Every day you transform the world around you by adding new color. And while you may not be Van Gogh, the end result is still a work of art.
Benjamin Moore's unmatched quality helps assure you of a happy customer every time. Just ask this contractor.
I'm Dan Skipper from Skip's Painting. Benjamin Moore is my paint and Repco Light is my store.
The 6 West Michigan Repco Light stores and Port City Paints in Muskegon, where painting pros go for Benjamin Moore.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back again. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And at Repco Light, we find a lot of homeowners and DIYers that absolutely hate painting their ceilings.
Oh, yeah.
They'll tackle almost any other paint project, but when it comes to ceilings, they're nervous and they're out. They just don't want to do it.
Don't want to do it. They'll strip furniture. They'll do all of these things.
Yeah.
But when it comes to painting the ceiling, they don't want any piece of that.
Yes.
And really, it's because they probably had a bad experience or they've just hated the work. Or even the idea of it, it just seems too complicated.
Right.
But here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, painting a ceiling isn't the same as painting a wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as straightforward as that. But really, like anything else, it's only tricky because no one's walked you through the steps or the process. Maybe nobody's taught you how to succeed at this.
Right.
There are easy ways to get through this, and we're going to help you with those things.
Right. Now, there are two common things that happen when it comes to painting a ceiling that people get hung up on. You know, usually one of these two things, maybe both of them, go wrong. Or, you know, they don't know to do them, and that's why they hate doing it. So the first one is the prep work. And, you know, we can never stress prep work enough. You know, you hear about it every time we talk about painting walls or anything else, and it's no different for a ceiling. You absolutely have to prep properly, and most of that is just cleaning the ceiling, just vacuuming it or wiping it down, whatever. Especially textured ceilings, they tend to hold cobwebs and dust a little bit more that we might not see from the ground.
Right. We don't see it. We assume that it's not there. We roll into it, and now we start spreading it all over the ceiling, and that's where some of the frustration comes from. So, like Betsy's saying, clean it. If that means vacuuming it with a bristled face on a shop vac, that'll work. That works great for a textured ceiling.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a flat ceiling that's shiny or has some spots that don't look quite right, you want to be sure to sand that first and then wipe it down with just a damp rag to get all that sanding dust off. That's going to be important to make sure that your new coating sticks up there.
Right. Another thing that you run into on a ceiling that can cause problems are things like water stains or other types of stains. A lot of those need to be primed with the proper primer or they'll bleed right through your finish paint.
Right.
Nothing will make a sadder paint project than a stain that just keeps bleeding through.
Right.
So prime those spots with the right primer. And if you're unsure, just come to any Repco Light or Port City paint store and we'll recommend the right one. Most of the time, it's going to be an oil-based primer, and that'll block that stain right in. And you can go right over top of that with your latex paint, no problem.
Yes. You also want to be sure to clear your workspace. You know, move furniture, if you can, completely out of the room, because otherwise you're left tripping over it, you know, at one end or in one corner. So if you can move it out, do so. Cover your floor, because that paint, you know, there's always a chance for a little bit of splatter to happen.
Or even kicking the bucket.
Or even kicking the bucket.
Please don't kick the bucket while painting your ceiling. It's bad on so many levels.
Yeah.
But having a drop cloth down gives you that extra level of insurance. You know, you still need to get on that spill quickly, but it's at least going to prevent it from hopefully being a catastrophe.
Right. And anything that has to be left in the room, just make sure you cover it with plastic. You know, that'll work just fine for covering things up just to protect them a little bit.
One last thing that we'd kind of lump in with prep work would be buying a good quality ceiling paint. Now, we recommend Benjamin Moore's waterborne ceiling paint. It covers better than most ceiling paints out there. It's going to spatter less, which is really important. As you're rolling, you're going to get less spatter coming down.
Yep.
And best of all, it's a dead flat. No matter what color you tint it with, it's a dead flat.
Right. Now, a lot of people just buy regular paint that's flat and put it on the ceiling. The problem is if you have windows in your room, and especially big windows, when you stand on the floor and look up,
as opposed to standing on...
Well, as opposed to like standing up on stairs and looking across.
Okay, I thought that was a dumber statement than it was. Shoot.
When you stand on the floor and look straight up, quite often you get what they call an angular sheen. So you actually see it shiny and it's going to highlight any imperfection that, you know, tend to actually happen in ceilings more often than you think.
Drywall seams that aren't patched well or as well as they could have been.
Yep.
You know, taped well, I guess I should say.
Or screw and nail pops.
All of
that
can show up with even a flat that's just got a little bit of a sheen to it.
Right.
Benjamin Moore's waterborne ceiling paint is completely dead flat.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see those things. So use the right paint. You're going to be happy in the long run.
Yes. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about painting your ceiling. We've talked about the prep work. Now it's time to get down to brass tacks and talk about actually putting the paint on.
This is the other area that people will fail. They'll fail at the prep work, miss a couple of steps, and it causes a problem.
Yes.
Or they mess a couple things up when it comes to actually applying the paint. And one of the big mistakes that people make is they tend to turn the heat up or just leave it on. You know, especially in wintertime and fall time, of course.
Yeah.
There's less heat on
in the summer.
But in the summer, we have air conditioning and fans blowing.
Right.
And basically, it's that airflow that we tend to want to create when we're working. But what it does is it dries that paint out too fast.
Right.
And it's very difficult to make it look nice as you're working across an open expanse like you've got on a ceiling.
Right. You want to keep that paint wet as you're working. You don't want it drying. So turn out the fans and the air conditioner, which actually suck humidity out of a room. And again, that's going to speed up the dry time.
Now, in the wintertime, turn off or turn down the furnace while you're working and then get everything back on when you're done. Now, do that and you're going to have much better results.
One last quick caution before you start painting. If you have popcorn texture on the ceiling, you're going to want to test a small area before you start rolling paint on. If it's been painted before, you're okay. But if it hasn't, you want to do a test area because there is the potential for it to start peeling off and crumbling as you're putting paint up there. So I always recommend to customers, try it first just to make sure that you're not going to end up with a mess.
Right. Just paint a small area, maybe a corner or preferably, you know, even the ceiling in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Just do this small test to make sure that the popcorn texture is not going to come down with your paint.
Yes, and it has happened where people roll the entire ceiling, come back the next morning, and it's all laying on the floor.
Literally laying on the floor. Their ceiling is on the floor.
So test it.
The good news is they've got a smooth new ceiling to work with. The bad news is the old ceiling is on their couch and carpet.
Yes.
So test it before you start painting everything.
Right.
Now, we're actually getting to literally putting paint on.
Yay!
And the first thing would be to cut in the room.
Right. Then it's time for rolling. And we find it easier to use some sort of pole, you know, whether it be an extension pole or just, you know, one of the wood poles that's $5, maybe less. It's going to help you get up to that ceiling without having to move a ladder, without, you know, so much bending and twisting and leaning back, neck craning. It's just going to work better.
Do not do this without an extension pole.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to people who do this on a ladder. You can't move as fast. You're constantly moving your ladder. You could fall off the ladder. You could knock your paint off of the ladder.
Oh,
there are so many things. You know, this alone, we could tell you, get an extension pole there. We just made painting your ceiling a lot better.
Yes.
And it will. Don't try to just do it with a ladder. Poles are so inexpensive, it's going to save you tons of time.
Right. Make sure you buy a good cover because that's going to help you put the paint on a little bit better. Then you want to roll the shortest distance across that ceiling. You know, when paint starts drying, you get what they call lap marks. You know, it's where the wet and the dry overlap each other, and you end up with these funny streaks. So if you have a 10 by 16 room, you want to paint across that 10-foot length as opposed to down the 16-foot length.
Right. Sometimes people make the mistake, and you're not painting squares.
No.
Around the room. I've looked on plenty of sites.
Yeah.
Reputable sites recommend painting squares around the room. Don't do that. Paint the shortest distance from one end of the room to the other, keeping a wet edge. And don't ever roll back in.
You know,
don't get 5, 6, 7 feet into the room and then see a spot 2 foot in that didn't get quite the right coverage.
Right.
Don't ever roll back into that. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to just quick fix that little spot. What you end up doing is disrupting the drying process of that paint, and you'll end up with a stipple or a texture there, and you're going to see it from the floor or anywhere you happen to stand.
Yes.
On your end tables,
on your stairs.
Couch, even the stairs. You're going to see that. Just figure, if you notice a spot like that, figure on a second coat, and that will cover it. It's frustrating to put a second coat on when you didn't want to, but it's going to be way better than trying to patch those areas in by rolling into them while it's drying.
Well, and I've also found talking to customers, a lot of time that spot that they see is actually paint that has dried, and it's way more dry than the stuff around it. And so they're rolling right back over the completely dried stuff.
And a lot of the times it turns out just fine. If they would have left it alone, it would have been fine.
Yes.
They roll into it and make a problem that didn't need to be.
Exactly.
So just move from one end of the room to the other. If you have to do a second coat, catch that at the end.
Right. These are just the beginnings of what you can do with the ceiling. You know, getting the paint on the ceiling is one thing, but don't forget to think outside the box when it comes to your ceiling. You know, think about some color. We're going to talk about that in a later episode because we just don't have time for it today, but start thinking about it.
Right. Now, in the last minute or so that we've got, we want to just highlight one last time a personal safety seminar that we're running with Benjamin Moore that's geared toward high school and college age kids, and it's coming up this Thursday night, August 3. And we really want to see a lot of you out there.
You know, this is a tough thing to grasp for people, you know, just hearing about this seminar, and they don't think that it's going to impact them very much. And I just want to share a quick personal story. You know, I wish upon wish that I had had this kind of opportunity when I was still in high school, because I was assaulted not once, but twice. And that's something that you can't teach until it's happened. And the impact that has, you know, on your life, the way you feel about yourself and things like that. If only I had had someone like Joe who said, hey, guess what? You're worth something. If you do these five things, you are so much less likely to have this happen. I would give anything to go back and have someone say that to me, so that I didn't have to go through this. Because it's something now that I get to deal with for
the rest of my life. You said that as we were talking to Joe. That's one of the things that really stuck with me. As you said, if you had just heard some of these things, these simple things, it would have changed your life completely.
Right. And it's all an attitude, you know. That's one of the things he talks about, is the attitude that you have to convey to people that make them think that, hey, I don't want to mess with you. I don't want you to be my target. I don't want to deal with that. If only I had known that, because I was a very different person then. And I had to figure it out for myself. You know, mm-hmm. hey, maybe if I make these changes, this will make it so it doesn't happen a third time. It does happen, and it doesn't happen just once. It can happen more than that. So please, I am begging you, from a person who has done this before, been through it before, bring your kids. High school, college, bring them. They need to hear this stuff.
That's coming up August 3, 7 o'clock at the Celebration Cinemas. All the information is at repcolite.com. You can get there and sign up. And that's going to do it for the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show. All of our previous episodes are online at RepcoLite.com, along with the show notes and a whole bunch of other great stuff, including the sign-up form for that college safety seminar we were just talking about. So go check it out.
And if you're into Facebook or Twitter or possibly Pinterest, be sure to like us or follow us. And all the links are right there on our homepage.
And of course, no matter what project you're working on this weekend, I'm sure a little paint is going to help make it a lot better.
Yes.
RepcoLite and Port City Paints are open till 3 o'clock today, and there's one right near you. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And those mossy shingles.
Ew.
Thanks for listening.